This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
It is a beautiful day in Texas, isn't it?
Well, it's a little hot, but yes, it's beautiful.
You know, the weather all over Texas has been extremely hot this week.
It really has.
I mean, people are so hot they're changing what they were going to do, you know. They're saying, no, we have to do something inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't believe outside's going to get it. I don't believe anybody could have played golf in the afternoon this week.
I don't believe so. I mean, when they start putting out those heat advisories and they start, you know, saying, hey, these are record-breaking temperatures, and they really get serious about, you know, make sure you have plenty of sunscreen and water and take breaks and don't spend too much time outside. And, you know, I mean, they really get serious about those warnings because, you know, heat-related issues can creep up on you real fast.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize how hot their skin really is, and that's when it gets dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
So I recommend, of course, lots and lots of lathered all that on, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Be sure that you've got lots of copper tone. And, you know, nowadays it says 50, 65, you know. I remember years ago it wasn't near that good, you know. But I know men, especially if they play golf, they have to put a lot of it on their nose. Seems like their nose is where they're going to get skin cancer.
Oh, yeah.
By not having it on their face, their nose, you know, all the different places.
Yeah, and your ears.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot about the ears. Yeah, that can burn real bad. So everybody be sure you've got sunscreen and more sunscreen.
Yeah.
And stay out of that sun if you can in the afternoon. You know, when it's 112 and 110, I mean, it's just too much. I mean, you've got to find something to do indoors and put it off maybe till next week.
Yeah.
I think next week it's only going to be 100, isn't it?
I think so. Big cool down.
It'll be cool down. I mean, you can go out and do a lot of things at 100, and 110, you just can't do it. Okay.
Yeah, there is a threshold where you just need to stay inside.
That's right. And be sure your animals, if you can, bring them in. Now, if you have llamas like me, you might just let them go down to the pond and swim.
Yeah. And didn't you say that they play in the sand when it gets really hot?
They really do. They have two groups of sand, and they will go and lay with it on their stomach to cool off. Now, I don't know if everybody's llamas do it, but that's what mine do. They love the sand, and there's been people have seen them laying on their side and rush down there to see if they're okay, and they're just enjoying the cold sand. The sand is cool to their body, and it brings their temperature down.
Wow. Maybe so, we should learn something from llamas. We should all hide in the sand.
We should, and because they're gentle, they're nice, they don't bite, they don't hurt people, mm-hmm. and they're a lot more gentle than a horse, let me tell you.
Well, yes, yeah, that is true.
I mean, you know, and they also are very protective. They will protect you from a coyote or anything else. It might try to come into your fence. The llama will take care of them.
Yeah.
They'll get them out pronto.
They seem so docile. They don't seem like they would be like the confrontational type, but they're very territorial, very, very protective.
They are. They will just take their hooves, their back hooves, and they will take that wolf or whatever coyote and take it out.
Yeah.
And it'll be knocked out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and of course, as you know, alpacas don't have those kind of hooves. They can't protect themselves.
Oh, they
They're
don't?
Not like llamas. No, alpacas don't have that kind of hoof.
Oh, I did not know that.
So if you have an alpaca, you've got to either have a donkey in there with it, or you need some llamas in there with it. You need something to protect them if they're out in the country, you know, like on a farm or ranch.
Interesting. I didn't realize that the alpaca was so vulnerable.
They are. They're very vulnerable. So you have to have something to take care of it, which with a llama, you don't. A llama will take care of everybody else.
Wow.
That's why a lot of ranchers have llamas in with their herd.
Oh, really?
Especially if they have lambs or something like that, because they will take care of them.
Wow.
To keep them from getting hurt, yes.
Well, golly, that's good to know.
It is. I mean, you know, you have to know these things. I never know when you're going to say, I have a ranch now, I need some llamas.
That'll be next week.
That's probably going to be next week. And you know, remember that all that beautiful fur they have, they make rugs with it, they make sweaters with it. It is valuable.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is very valuable.
Yeah.
So llamas serve a lot of purposes, you know. They're sweet, they love everybody, they'll play with your children, they'll play with your grandchildren. They're good for nursing homes, for sick people. You know, they're just good for everything.
Neat.
I mean, they are. They're very, very neat. Now then, we better give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. Have you been there this week?
No, not this week, no.
Okay, well, I'm just checking on you. I don't want you going too much
yeah.
and spending too much time there.
or go too long between visits.
That's right, because your wife will say, you've just overloaded me with gifts.
Dude, that's never happened.
I hope she's listening this morning. Because she'll say, uh-huh. Now you get on down the road. You
yeah.
don't get that done.
I think I know where I need to go now as soon as we're done.
That's right, because it's all over town right now. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all of our customers are waiting right now on some new policies.
Okay.
We've got a lot of people waiting. We're trying to close these suckers. And we've just been having all kinds of things happen. You know, we had the first thing happen that 2 weeks ago. We had a policy come due. We'd only had it like a month and a half. Maybe it wasn't even 2 months. And the people passed away. And we quickly, there's only four people into small policy. And we sent out an email to those four men and said, you've got it. You just made some money, which would have been a lot in 2 months. And then we got a call from the lawyer for the family, and they said, we just now got the signed papers back, and we're going to rescind because it wasn't long enough. So the family got the money. My people did not get the money.
Are you serious? Can they do that?
Yes, they can do it. Remember, in some states, it has 60 days.
Oh.
And we thought we were home free. And we went back and looked at what day they got their money and what day they had signed the final documents. And we were just messed up. We did not get it. And that was very disappointing, not only to me, but the people that I had already sent the email out to saying you got the money.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and they didn't, and we had to go back and give the money back, you know?
Oh, I mean, man.
It's what a deal.
Well, I mean, you can't really control when the policy matures, but boy, that's just...
It was a low blow. It was really low blow to think that we had not closed it in time. And it was one of those deals, it took over 30 days to get it changed over from their beneficiaries to us. And it took longer than usual, and that's what happened.
Oh.
It took so long to get it changed over, by the time they had signed off and we'd given them their money... They still had control.
It was just too close.
It was too close, and they called it, and we wouldn't have known, but the lawyer called and said, you know, it's in rescission period. So, again, that was a big disappointment to four good clients.
Wow.
Yeah, wasn't anything we could do to stop it.
Has that ever happened before, like that type of situation?
Yes, it has.
Oh, really?
It's rescinded usually, but the policy didn't come due. Usually they just change their mind, you know. And they can change their mind. They've got 60 days most of the time. Some of them is only 30, but some of them are 60.
It just so happens that this time everything kind of lined up.
Yep. So we have to be careful. We have to always think about that when we buy a policy. We need time is of the essence.
Yeah.
We try to hurry, but... lots of times, you know, there's so many other people involved that we can't get it done fast enough, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, it wasn't our fault. It was really the fault of the other people on the other side, you know, getting the papers changed over and getting the signatures.
I would imagine it probably wouldn't have been quite as devastating of a blow if the policy hadn't matured. They just changed their mind. But considering
if they just changed their mind, it wouldn't have hurt us.
Yeah.
We'd have been saying, gosh, we hate to lose that. Yeah, but this is the second one we've lost in 30 days.
Yeah, wow.
We lost that great big one, the $3 million when we thought we had it. We thought we were going to close. And the people decide to take out a loan at 28%.
28%?
Now, they have just lost their minds. The heirs were pushing them. The heirs wanted to get the money. And what they don't realize, the heirs are going to get the money now, but they have to pay that loan back. And, you know, I don't know what will happen if they don't have the money to pay the loan back, you know?
Wow, 28%, that's...
It's armed robbery.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, things can happen. Life is not perfect every day. We wish it was, because, you know, we've been in business a long time, hope to be in business another 30 years. But we learn as we go along, you know. Every deal is not perfect, but we have a lot that are. So we're continuing down that path, closing them as quick and as easily as we can.
Well, what
but
else
it does take time.
What else is out there on the horizon as far as policies coming in?
Well, we're looking at a bunch. We're trying to get them closed. I don't know if we're going to close this week or not, but we're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got several $1 million that we're trying to close.
Oh, wow.
We closed a lot of small ones. But the small ones, you know, you can only put one person in that.
Yeah.
We've closed several $100,000 ones. But that's not the ones we're trying to close. We're trying to close some $500,000 ones, $250,000, and some $1 million ones.
The type of policies where you could get a lot of people involved.
Yes. Where we can get a lot of these closed, get them in, and get them getting ready to have maturities. And wow. We need maturities all the time.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot. You know, we've had one that we just got in their accounts about a week ago. And that raised the amount of money we have to invest for them. Right now, we've got a lot of money to invest. We've just got to get the policies in-house and get started again.
And for those that don't know what we're referring to when we say policies, what these are life insurance policies that the policyholder will choose to sell. And so at that point, once you bid on it and once you're awarded it, it's an opportunity for people to invest in it. And then they basically just wait for the policy to mature.
That's right. And then the bank takes over. The bank sends in the certified death certificate. The bank pays them, puts the money in each person's account. And that's what makes it, I think, you know, a very good situation. If the bank pays you, if the bank pays the premium, you know, it takes a lot of the risk out.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody wants. They want this as risk-free as possible.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, especially who have been in the stock market, and they see things that go on all the time, and they know how volatile Wall Street can be. And, you know, the least little thing can affect a lifelong you know, run of investments. And so people could have been building their wealth over the last 10, 20, 30 years, and anything can happen and wipe everything out. And that's kind of scary.
That's exactly right. And we never know. Some days the market looks very good, and then some days it plunges.
Yeah.
You know? So we never know, you know, exactly which way the market is going to go from day to day. And people come to me when they get a certain age, and they say, you know, we're done. You know, we're done. We've went through two or three downturns. We've made some money, but we don't want to take the chance as we get ready to retire that everything's going to go straight to heck,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I agree with them. When you get a certain age, nobody wants to take all those risks, okay?
Well, yeah, because you're getting closer, and so your opportunity to make good and recover if something does happen, that window between that date and retirement date gets smaller and smaller with every day.
That's right. And it's a matter of how much can you afford to lose.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to think about it. I don't either. But I know sometimes it goes that way. And it goes down just for retirement. And we have a few people, not many, that had to delay retirement and go back to work. You know, they didn't intend to. They weren't planning on it, but that's what happened.
Well, and that's not a good way. I mean, that's not in anybody's plan for retirement, is going back to work.
Nobody wants to do that.
And so to get to that point, people really have to, they're going to start, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who have been very successful in the stock market. I mean, it's been that way forever, you know. But then there's also people that still have that flashback to 2008 and realize, oh my gosh, I've just now gotten back to where I've recovered from that. Or maybe I've recovered a few years ago and I've got a little bit of profit and, you know, I've got some equity that I can take out and I can, you know, do something with. I've grown my money a little. And this might be the time to rethink the plan, really, for the next several years until retirement, looking for something a little bit safer.
I think that's what happens. They're 55, they're 65 years old, and they're going, you know, it's time for us to get real. We need to get out of the stock market. Let's get to something that we know what we'll make.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's a much better situation because there's no pie in the sky. You know, it's not, oh, my gosh, the market could go up 200 points today. But we don't know that. It's not a sure thing is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So when they come to us, they say, you know, we want to make a change. We've been in the stock market too long. We don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. And just as easily as it can go up, it can go down 600 points.
That's exactly right. So when they come to us, they say, we want to make a major change. We want something that we know how much we're going to make. We want to be sure that we're getting our principal back, that the principal can't go down, that the profit can't go down. The only thing that can happen, you know, there's three risks in this. The first risk is it can go over, okay? Mm-hmm. They know that they'll still get their principal, they'll still get their interest, but the interest might be less, okay? But the main thing is your principal is secure. You know that going in, we're going to tell you what the premium will be if it goes over. It might be $500, might be $50, or it might be $1,500. We've got older policies that, you know, could be several thousand, but most of the ones we do now, we have a cap. We won't go over a certain amount. And I look and see, you know, if these are all accredited people, we know they could go $1,000, they could go $2,000. But that still won't ruin their profit, because if their profit, if it's a 24-month policy, the profit's 24%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might come down 2,000 or even 4, but they'll still have the bulk of their profit. The second thing is, and of course it does not affect our accredited investors, only the ones who are not accredited. If somebody says, oh my gosh, I've got an emergency, I need to take some money. Well, they know they cannot take money out of their policies. It's not liquid. Not until that person passes away. Now, at maturity, they can do anything they need to do. But our people all have emergency money. They have money in other things, so they don't have to call upon the money in their policy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're secure. They're okay. So that's why I think, you know, it's a fairly safe deal. I think it's safer than most investments because, you know you'll get your principal back. You know you'll get your profit. It might be a little less. But how about the people that comes in early? This is another great feature. If this person, instead of dying in 30 months, dies in 12 months, okay, that 30% you were going to make in 30 months, you're going to make it in 12 months. So you get the same amount of money, you just get it early. And people can go to our website, look at what we've done this whole year, and you can see how much people have made and how many policies were early.
The website, by the way, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. So people can go there. All the information is right there. Now, one of the I feel like probably one of the things that people like about this is how well informed of an investment this actually is. Because when people go in, it's not, we're not looking at necessarily historicals, because, I mean, that's obviously important because you want to see trends and things like that. But you also see things that are affecting, you know, what's going to happen in the future. Like, say, a policyholder is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and then they take 6 months and they go to Iceland and they do the pure water, spring water treatment. And we know what that means for the expectancy of that policyholder in the long run. We know how that could most likely affect how or when the policy matures.
Well, that's exactly right. And we find, especially women, Women are very vain, and I'm a woman, so I know that to be true. You know, our looks are important to us. So if they have breast cancer, they're going to go to Mexico. They're going to go, like you said, Iceland or somewhere for oil treatments or, you know, orange treatments. They have an orange juice treatment. And it will not cure you, folks. It is not going to save your life. And if they'd have stayed home and did traditional medicine, it would have either extended their life or they might even be cured. But when we find this out, that they have already, over in Mexico, we try to buy the policy immediately because I know that they are going to pass away faster than the people that were doing the regular treatment. It's just a fact of life. And it's a shame, you know, that people will do that and it won't extend your life. It's not going to save you, but they think it will. And they've read all this. You know, it's kind of like when the aliens landed on Earth, you know. They read this in these magazines about how it's going to cure you, and they believe it. And it's not true. It's not the way it works.
And obviously, as human beings, we want people to survive cancer. But the reality is that a lot of times, you know, and especially, you know, there are some types of cancer that are more aggressive and worse than others. But the reality is that when somebody is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, it generally is very aggressive. We know for the most part what the outcome is. Now, obviously, there's a lot of advancements in cancer treatment. And you know, we thank God for that. But we still know that a majority of the people are not going to survive cancer long term in most cases. And obviously, you know, surgery can help if they can get it all and things like that. So there's a number of things that can do. But we know the reality of how severe cancer is. And when people get to that point, they need to sell that policy for a number of reasons. One of them is to settle their estate, and the other is so that they can afford the treatments.
That's exactly right, because, you know, we talked a long time ago about it being $10,000 a month. That won't even touch it now. I mean, that's just an old wives' tale now, because cancer treatment is much more expensive. It's like $100,000 a month.
Wow.
And if you don't have a lot of money, you know, people will go sometimes to places that are not as good as other places. You know, we have MD Anderson here. We also have UT Southwestern, big places that do a lot of research and that have a track record. Mayo Brothers, you know, they have a track record. And they are curing a lot of cancers, but not the ones we're getting that are so severe. And they didn't catch them early. And like we've talked about lately, there's been all these this year for the first time that we've been getting the tonsils and the neck and things that we had never seen before. And I don't know if it's more prevalent now or what has happened, but these are ones we had never seen before. I hadn't anyway.
Tonsil cancer.
Yes, and it's deadly. And everybody, you know, they don't realize if you have a sore neck, you have this lump on your neck, you should immediately go have it seen about. And this is why a lot of people don't make it. They have the symptoms, but they don't seek treatment. They don't say, you know, I need to go and have this seen about.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like carotid arteries in our necks. People don't realize those fill up with cholesterol. And you should have them checked. You should have a CT scan. Have it checked, because if it gets full, it will cause a stroke, folks.
Yeah.
So there's different things we need to do. It's called preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And on cancer, people, especially men, don't want to go have it sent about.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of times people are afraid of the results. They just rather not know and pretend that it's not there. But while that's happening, it's progressing and getting worse.
That's right. And unbeknownst to the person that's got it, it is growing. You just haven't noticed it. So, you know, the policies that we've been buying a lot of, as I said, tonsil, neck, that part that we had never been experienced with, and it is deadly. And you don't live a long time if you don't get right on it. So every day, the policies that we get, they're stage four already. So this person has already went, you know, a year, 6 months, or it has reoccurred.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize you've got to stay on it because lots of times if they didn't get it all and it will reoccur.
And the wonderful thing about this type of investment is that when first of all, for somebody to go ahead and sell it and get that money, that allows them to go get the treatments that they need. So it's relief on the policyholder's part. But then it becomes an investment for other people because now you've got this policy and it's like you've got to do something with it. And so while you're waiting for it to mature, you know, it becomes a business transaction, an investment opportunity. And so people can come in. But the brilliant thing about this type of investment is you know everything about the policy holder. You know the treatments they've tried. You know the things that they haven't tried, which in some cases is even more important than what they have attempted.
Well, that's exactly right. So when I get a life expectancy and I read it and read it and read it, you know, I read to see how long has it been going on? When was it diagnosed? Is this reoccurrence? Especially if it's breast cancer. If it's a reoccurrence, I don't give it much hope at all. And so I'm anxious to buy it. I'm anxious to bid on it. I want them to get the money where they can get treatment right away. Or if they say, you know, I'm going to hospice. You know, you remember the one I read you the other day, the man said, I'm going to hospice. I want to die with dignity.
Yeah.
He said he did not want to die in a hospital. He'd gone as far as he could go. So when you read all this, you know the person a little bit. You know about their life and what all's happened. You know if they had it in 15 or 14 and they've, you know, struggled with it all this time, or if it was just diagnosed in 17 or 18 and they know they have to get treatment fast and they have to help their family. So all of this we take into account. I take into account what size they are. You know, lots of times they'll say this person is obese. It's much harder to win the battle if they're obese. So we're looking at that. We're looking at their weight, how much they've lost. Now, we have lots of people, they've lost 40 or 50 pounds in 3 months. So I know that's telling me something. It's moving around, and it is bad. So we try to read everything about them, what they say, what they want to do, if it's in hospice, or if they've declined treatment. We have a lot of them, they just give up and say, no, I cannot take any more chemo. Some chemo is not bad, but some of it is treacherous.
Yeah, so they say all the time that you know, sometimes the treatment is worse than the disease.
I think so, because sometimes it is so horrible that people just say, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm through. And I think that radiation is not near as bad. But that's just a personal note because I've had relatives that survived it by doing the radiation, and they did not do the chemo.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody has to make their own judgment. Them and their family has to decide what's best for them. In the meantime, they've come to us. They want to sell their policy. They want to get everything squared away. And as I said, and some of them say, you know, I will go to a better hospital, a better treatment center, but I need cash.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't have the cash to go to the very best places. So, again, that's how we can help them and how our clients can make a good profit. It's an alternative investment. It's not just straight-O investment that you do for 20 or 30 years, and whatever you have at the end, that's what you have.
Yeah, this is more like a 20 or 30 month And then you get into another one. So this is part of a larger picture. You know, we zoom in a lot of times about the actual policies themselves, but it helps create the larger picture of how the whole process works. It's not you just invest one time and you're done. You may go, you know, 12, 24 months, 20 months, whatever it is. And then when that policy matures, most people take that, roll it into another investment, and then it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And that's how the whole process works.
That's exactly right. And if it's an IRA, we're just going to keep rolling it till they say we need cash out of it. And once they retire or getting ready to retire, they bring me everything. And they say, okay, Faye, here's what all our assets are. Here's what our income is. This is what we will need the next few years. And we go over that. We figure it out. And we try to make it where that they will have, you know, the required interest income every year, and that their interest will go on for years and years, that they're not going to run out. You know, the other day when I read that the average American only has $150,000 to retire, I almost jumped out of my chair.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have a prayer. They have got to immediately put in something. I don't care what it is, whatever they trust, whether it's me or the stock market or something else. But you've got to have something growing. If you've got $150,000, you better get busy. Now, if you're 40, that's okay. If you're 65, you're in deep trouble. So, you know, when I heard about that, I go, I can't even believe it.
So let's put the
$150,000, they can't take but $1,000 a year out.
Wow.
They're not going to survive.
Well, reality will hit you in the face when you put it like that.
It will hit you hard. And you will realize you've been messing around, have not got your house in order, and you better pray that at least your house is paid for.
So let's kind of split the difference a little bit. Let's take somebody right down the middle. Say somebody's about 50 years old. Say they have $150,000. I know you're going to say it's never too late to invest. You need to get started. But
not
is
at
that,
50, it's not too late.
Right, exactly. So it's okay to start then, but is that because I know that it's not just you trying to get to the retirement date, it's going past the retirement date, and the investment keeps going after the person retires, which helps.
It's got to. It's got to keep going for 25 years. We're figuring you're going to live 25 years.
Wow.
Now, we know some people this last week that Nancy Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's first wife, has just died at 101.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people living to 100. You don't want to live to 100 if you're poor.
No.
I mean, you know, there's nobody to take care of you. There's nobody. Somebody's got to have the money to support you, let's face it.
Yeah.
So you need to take care of yourself. Get to on the investment, get on it good. You've got to be putting money in every year in that $150,000. If that's all you've got, you better slow down on all the new things you'd like to buy and start putting money aside.
Yeah, start making some new plans.
You better have a whole new portfolio going.
Wow.
So my people, if they're 60, a lot of times they're retiring right now at 59, 60. If they've got enough money, we can do it. You know, they're going to be okay. But most of them have got $2 million to retire on. Some of them $4 million. So, I've got very few people that have got $500,000.
So they've got enough, really. Ideally, you set this up so that not only do they have enough to retire, they have enough to live on, and they have enough to keep investing and keep growing their money. And that's how the big picture works.
That's exactly right. It takes money to make money. That's an old story, but it is the truth. A poor person cannot do what we do. You can't be poor and start out with $5,000. You've got to go over somewhere else if you've only got $5,000.
So then here's the million-dollar question. What would you say to the person who only has $5,000? Say, like you say, you need to have money to make money. How do you get to the point where you have money so that you can make money?
Okay. They need to start every payday. Put money aside. quit spending it, put it aside, and get that sucker built up. Take a couple of years and get it built up where you've got enough to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you make $100,000 a year, you need to try to take $25,000 every year till you get enough money to do something.
So,
and if you've got a wife, the two of you together can do $25,000 a year.
So then, once that gets
that's
built up a little bit,
$12,500 apiece.
Are there other options as far as investments go that people can get started with who are not up to that larger investment type? Because the minimum for a life settlement type of investment is $100,000, right?
That's right.
Okay,
so what we're saying is you've got to have $50,000 even to do an annuity.
Mm.
The companies I represent are not going to take someone that doesn't have $50,000.
And wages right now are paying very well, and so this is a good
time. They're very high right now.
Yeah, so take that money, take any extra money that people may have, put it away, let it grow for a minute, and then before you know it, within maybe a year or two, they may be in a position where they can start with like an annuity, grow that, and then once that gets built up enough, move over to a life settlement type of investment. Is that accurate?
That's right, yes. But you've got to get that money built up. The only way to do it is start taking money every month and setting it aside. Put it in a savings, which doesn't make anything, or put it where you can't get to it. You know, don't leave it in your checking account. Heck, you'll spend it.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you've got to put money aside and save enough where you can do serious investing.
So it is possible. You just have to get started, and I think that's really a lot of we talk about this all the time about how people procrastinate, and really it's the hardest part is just to get started.
That's right, and people who procrastinate, they're missing out on a great opportunity to get something done with their portfolio.
Yeah.
You know, they probably have cows, they probably have a ranch, and so. You know, they just forget. You know, we've got all this money over here that we need to do something with. And a CD is 2%. I mean, it costs more than that to drive to the bank to cash it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're making 84 cents. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to tell anybody I had a dadgum CD. I mean, I wouldn't even tell that story.
So that's not the way to go.
That's not the way to go. You've got to invest to make money. Do it cautiously. Be cautious. But do it. And quit procrastinating all the time. Your wife has been telling you for 6 months, go see Faye.
Or 6 years.
I don't think it's been that bad, but it is bad. You know, I had the people, as I told you, come from Odessa.
Uh-huh.
They talked to me over a year ago. And they finally came back. They'd been there a year ago. They came back, and him and his wife put some money with them.
Was there a trigger event that made them go from thinking about it? Because, I mean, a year is a long time to think about.
It is a long time. I don't know. I think they heard me on the radio all the time talking, and they finally said, you know, we really do need to go talk to her. That's what I think. I think they just heard me all the time. It's pounding in their brain. You know, go see Faye.
Uh-huh.
And I think they just finally quit procrastinating, and they did come.
Well, whatever the trigger event may be, people need to just get up and do it, even if it's just a motivational issue. Because setting this up is not, this is not a high-maintenance thing. It's not like people have to do a lot. They just have to. Basically, and I hate to be so oversimplified with this, but basically they set it and forget it, right?
Yes, they do it, and then they just wait to get an email or a call from our office saying, your policy's matured, you've made some money. And then we get that second email and say, okay, it's now in the bank, because that's when they get anxious. They think that it should be there faster than the bank puts it in sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get emails. It's been 6 weeks. Well, it may be the seventh week, or it may be 6.5 weeks. It may be 3 more days, you know?
Yeah.
But as soon as it gets there, the bank will put it in your account. You can depend on them. Remember, we use the bank for everything. I don't touch your money. The money never goes in American Financial's accounts. It goes in your account at the bank, always. And that's what we like. We like the bank handling everything. You know, they do all of our backup stuff. If we didn't have the bank that we work with, we would have to have 100 employees. But because we have all the backup in the bank, it saves us all those employees because they do the work for us.
I would imagine, and I'm just guessing here, I would imagine probably, you know, first-time investors probably are relieved, and I mean this in a good way, but they probably have a difficult time transitioning from getting up every night, getting online and seeing, oh my God, do I still have any money left, like they have probably in the stock market, to just kind of like just chill out, don't do anything, you don't have to check anything every day, you just sit and wait.
That's exactly right. It's a waiting game. And in the meantime, you know, you're making money. You just don't get it till that person passes away.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, we have one person that's had 20 maturities.
Wow.
20 maturities. He's got six that are over.
Wow.
But my Lord, look how much he's already made.
Yeah.
20 maturities.
That's it. I mean, six that have gone over out of 20, that's good odds.
Yeah. So that tells you he had 26 policies.
Hmm.
20 have already paid off early, every one of them. So now he's got six that are late.
And so, if people are hearing, oh my gosh, you got six policies that went over, well, you've also got 14 that either came in on time or early. And that's another beautiful thing about this. If you do this right, and you always set it up right with people, but when they come to you for the first time and they don't understand, the idea is that over time, it all evens out. And hopefully, in most cases, I would assume, people end up ahead of the game.
Yes, they do. But now you missed that. You said 14 policies. 20 have matured. He has six more that haven't.
Oh.
So that's a total of 26 policies.
Oh, my math was wrong. My bad.
Your math was wrong. That's what we got to watch you. Bet your wife didn't let you have the checkbook.
Oh, no, no. I do nothing with numbers.
No.
All right. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
All right. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting things to the table. So what's the topic this morning?
It's the history of baseball stadium nachos.
Ooh, love baseball food.
Most people don't know this story.
I'm sure not.
Everybody does not know where the story of the nachos really came from.
Mm.
They really came from Piedras Negras across from El Paso. And people just don't realize what happened. But years ago, all this happened right across from us in Mexico. This guy, who is so famous, was doing nachos. And, of course, nobody even knew what it meant back then. But this was in 1943. And just, as I said, across the border. And there was a group of hungry army wives. And they were the very first one to eat this. And the ladies went to a restaurant. It was called the Victory Club. And the maitre d' was Ignacio Nacho, was what he was called.
Oh.
And he would greet them. And without a chef around, he threw together whatever food he could. He'd go in the kitchen, and he was just the maitre d'. And so he would take tortilla chips, he'd take some cheese, jalapeno peppers, and back then he was using Wisconsin cheddar. And he named the dish nachos, especials, nachos especials. And it caught on both sides of the border. And then they shortened it to just nachos. Well, he died back in 1975. But they put a bronze plaque up in Piedras Negras to honor his memory. And they declared it International Day of the Nacho.
Ooh.
Every year. And so anyway, it was popular in restaurants in Texas. And Frank Liberto, the recipe, hit the scene. He became famous for bringing the version of the dish to the concession stands of the Texas Rangers.
Oh.
Yeah, in 1976, it was a baseball game in Arlington. and he did something no one had ever done before. He created a pump consistency of this, of the orange gooey gooeyness, what he called a cheese sauce.
Mm.
And some people said, yeah, some of them did use Wisconsin cheese. But his original recipe was a blend. It wasn't even Wisconsin cheese. It was a blend of several cheeses. And the sauce is technically not a cheese. How about that?
It's not cheese?
But we all know it is.
Oh.
But it didn't stop fans from pumping it by the gallons.
Oh.
And it didn't need to be refrigerated, had a longer shelf life, but it was top secret. Nobody was to get the recipe. It was so secret. In 1983, a 29-year-old man was arrested for trying to buy the trade secrets.
Really?
Yeah. And this guy said he didn't want people to wait more than 1 minute in line. So he came up with the idea of warming up a can of cheese sauce, putting it over the chips, sprinkling jalapenos on it. Then his son and the current president of Rico's Products, they are now in 57 countries.
Really?
Yeah. But Tony Liberto was 13 when Rico's introduced the product in Arlington Stadium. And he said the concession operators wouldn't put the cheesy chips in the stands. They were afraid that the new product would cannibalize their popcorn, their hot dogs, and their sodas. So he had to build nacho carts. They wouldn't let him put it up there in the concession stands. So his dad had an old VHS tape where people were lined up. It showed them 20 people deep behind the carts. And you'd hear the crack of the bat, you'd think, they'd want to see what play was going on. But they would stay in line 20 deep to get their nachos.
I'm sure.
And it surpassed popcorn. It surpassed drinks, hot dogs. And the first year, it did 800,000 in sales.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And popcorn had been the highest, and they only sold to 1 in 14 and made 85,000.
Wow.
Yeah. But they said when you put jalapeno pepper, chips, and cheese, it's going to be spicy, so they're going to start looking for something to drink. So that made the beverage sales spike. Oh, yeah. So then in 1978, it became available to the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And Monday Night Football announcer Howard Cosell, and I don't even remember this, he put nachos on the map. Cosell, of course, as you know, was a household name for football fans. You remember Frank Gifford and Don Meredith.
Yeah.
They were giving you the play-by-play. Well, old Cosell was up there trying to make up some dead airspace. And they brought in this new snack, and everybody said, what do you call them? A nacho or nachos? Recalls Liberto, he started using the word nacho in the descriptions of plays. He'd say, did you see that run? That was a nacho run. So Cosell and them started using the word, allowing nachos to branch out from their Texas birthplace. So they'd say, that's a nacho home run. And that's how it became famous all over the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, as I said, it's now in 57 countries, and they work with 200 distributors worldwide. And that's since the 80s, and they've dominated the theaters and all the stadiums since. Can you imagine? It started out in Piedras Negras, Mexico.
You know,
and the Army wives ate it first.
Wow. It's a fascinating story, but there's many people that love nachos just as it is. And so that in itself is a feat. But then it's like, it seems like things like nachos just taste better at like a ball field or at some kind of a sporting event or something like that. I don't know why.
Well, now I remember going to drive-in theater. And, of course, you know, you could order it with the cheese on it and the nacho, but I never did order it with the jalapenos.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and I have always loved them.
Oh, yeah.
But can you imagine it made them famous? And Rico, the young boy, is now very, very wealthy, and he's got them in 57 countries.
That's amazing. That's huge.
Now, that's a heck of a story about somebody starting out in Piedras Negras and it coming to the baseball stadium for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, really. To see that kind of growth, it's amazing.
And to think they started with nothing.
Of course.
I mean, it didn't cost hardly anything to make a nacho and cheese.
That's where a lot of the best creations start from almost nothing.
It really does. I mean, it's just amazing where they are today in every stadium and all around the world.
Wow.
And the guy was 13 years old when his dad showed him how it worked.
Love chips and cheesy goodness.
We do. Everybody does. And to think that it surpassed hot dogs and popcorn, that's amazing.
I know, right? Because those are the two staples.
Yeah, and that's, you know, everybody wants hot dogs when they go to one of the stadiums. That's the first thing. The fathers have to get up and start running to get the hot dogs.
Sure, yeah, and the little cartons with all the you know, and then whoever puts the messiest stuff on top, then you got even a bigger mess. It's great. It's part
it
of
is.
The experience.
It is a mess, but it sure is fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Oh my gosh! And the last time I went, it was rained out, and we were huddled up there under the eaves trying to keep from getting rained on.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, ruined the whole line.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, so always check your weather when you're going to the stadium. And make sure that you get your nachos, you get a hot dog, a drink. Oh, my gosh.
Faye's words of wisdom. Check the weather
That's
before
right.
you go to the stadium.
That's right, but they say now it's gotten really, really expensive. That you know, used to it was, you know, about $10 a head.
Yeah.
They say that won't even touch it now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But still, it is fun.
And it's worth it now. Don't get me wrong. I would never pass that up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a whole experience.
It is. And, you know, the best thing is to get good seats.
Yeah.
You know, you may have to get them 3 months, 6 months in advance, but get those good seats out there.
Yeah.
Don't go up in the nosebleed section. I hate that section.
No. I mean, you used to go into the you know, the ball field or the stadium, wherever you're going. You go in for a couple bucks, you go sit down, and you know, spend a couple hours there. Now you can go in, and, you know, there's huge screens, there's jumbotrons, there's music, there's bands. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's an event.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's like you need to go at noon, you know, to get ready for everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You've got to have your parking. I mean, there's so many things you've got to do just to enjoy this wonderful deal.
Yeah, you almost have to get ready to get ready.
You do. And, of course, the ones that go to the Cowboys Stadium, oh, they say, what a deal.
Oh.
I mean, you've got to park at one of those places on the way and have them transport you.
Yeah.
And then they've got those huge, huge TVs.
Yeah. Once you get inside, though, man, that's an experience.
It is. It's a fabulous experience. And it takes everybody back to being a kid. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, it does.
And it's worth every minute.
So much.
Because remember, one of these days you're going to be old and you can't have fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so you better do it while you can.
Yeah, more words of wisdom by Faye Begbie.
That's right.
Go have fun while you can.
That's right. You better do it now.
This is Your Money with Faye Begbie. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're right next door to Ivy Cottage, and that's at 3105 is where we are. And everybody needs to visit them just for the fun of it.
And tell them Faye said hi.
That's right. Tell them Faye Bagby said hello.
Now, when it comes to these policies that people are bidding on, we should note that you don't bid on just any policy that comes through, not even every stage four cancer policy that comes across your desk. You're very, very selective about even the stage four policies that you see.
Do you think that's why I don't have any policies right now?
No.
I'm so particular? Oh, my gosh.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing, let me tell you. We have turned some down the last 2 weeks. I just did not think they were sick enough. And, you know, the way we do it, they have to be ill. They have to truly be a stage four. And so we read them and read them. We pick out the ones we think will make the most money for our clients. That's what we're here for. Make money for the clients. And if we do it right, it will make money, and they will enjoy this, and they'll do it again and again.
And it's a great testament that you are so picky. You know, so even when there's not a lot of policies for people to invest in, people know and they can feel secure knowing that, you know, you don't just randomly get one just to get one. You're still, you know, holding true to the whole principle and the foundation of how the whole process works over there.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've been at it a long time, and we don't want to change the way we do it. We want to do it just like we do it and get the right ones. And then when they come in early, I'm excited. I'm just like the client. I'm excited for them. You know, I want it to be on our record that we brought these policies in early.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't want to do elderly, and we don't reason we don't do them. They're going to outlive me, you, everybody on the block.
Exactly.
Because they're not sick, they're just elderly.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to avoid that.
Yeah, because that's not a good investment.
No, it isn't.
So for people who are listening for the first time and they're thinking about this and they've never done this before, what type of a person would be a good fit for a life settlement type of investment?
Well, anybody that wants to change the way they're doing things, that wants things different, that doesn't want to worry about the stock market up and down, they don't want to pay the high fees in the market. And if they've got some old annuities that are variable annuities, they've got mutual funds in them. If you don't want to be in the mutual fund business, you know, come and try us, see if you like us. Mutual funds have a lot of fees, a lot more than we could even think of. So sometimes they can save a lot of money by getting things consistent with us, without mutual funds and without all the fees.
And I know sometimes we talk about, in fact, a lot of times we say, okay, if you're ready to you know, go down and see Faye, get all your assets together, you know, figure out what you've got where and all that. That's not actually necessary, is it? People can just come for information.
Certainly. You can just come, talk to me, go home, gather everything up, gather your wife up, and come back.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, by saying, hey, gather up your stuff, people think, oh my gosh, I go down and see Faye and I'm locked into this thing. No, there's people that come down and get information once and they go home and tell their wife and then they come down, they both come down for information. And it's just, you know, move as freely as they want to, whenever they want to, whenever they're comfortable. If you just want to go down and sit down and chit chat for an hour, that's fine.
That's right. We don't care. You know, we're pretty easy. We just want people to come and talk to us. If they like us, do a deal with us. I haven't had anybody that didn't like us, and we are successful. Our clients are successful, and I don't know what else they need, you know? We're making money for our clients, and that's the important thing.
Exactly. That's the whole point of this whole thing. So, Faye, I assume you've got some availability for appointments, people to come see you next week, yes?
Yes, it'll be the latter part of the week, but we will be doing it.
Okay, perfect. And so what's the number one last time for people to call to make an appointment?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.